What a wonderful maker. You know the story of Genesis 3 probably all too well, don't you? The serpent lies, Eve eats, she shares with Adam, and they hide. Something new appears on the scene. Shame, blame, fear. Then God curses the serpent. Then he curses the couple. In the midst of those curses, there's a promise. But before God banishes the couple from their garden home, the Bible says that he clothed them. You know the story, how they made aprons, or the newer versions say loincloths, for themselves, and that was insufficient. Genesis 3:21 says, "Unto Adam and also his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, we know for certain that God used animal skin. And I know from experience that in order to get an animal out of his skin, he must die. So what about that animal? Genesis 2:19 through 20 says this, "Now out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whenever the man called the living thing, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of heaven and to every beast of the field." In Adam's unfallen world, the animals weren't afraid of him. That didn't come about until Genesis 9. So then God brought all the animals to Adam. And it'd be easy for us to see that picture as animal after animal passes Adam. He gives them their name. But we could also see close contact with those animals. To name them, Adam had to know them. To know them, he had to spend time with them. So he would name them. And he knew them. But now, some of them are gone. Even to the point he would have known which one he was wearing. Now, each of us may have a picture in our minds what these clothes look like that God made. I've tended to think about it over time, never put a lot of thought into it, but I've wondered, you know, this is God. It could have been finely tailored suits. Could have been those long leather dusters like those cowboys wear in the old westerns, you know. Maybe it was a full-length fur coat, all nice and warm and comfy. Or maybe a tanned hide like the old fur traders wore or the Native Americans. All these are possible with an all-powerful God, but in probability, we probably never really thought really too much about how it looked. Finely tanned leather is certainly a possibility. But allow me, if you will, just to present you with a more plausible picture. Isn't it more likely that these coats, garments, were taken directly from the carcass of the animal? The term I would use in my world would be straight off the kill floor. This would mean that they would be heavy and cumbersome and smelly, but most of all, bloody. And it would be a constant reminder of their sin and a constant reminder of the cost of covering sin. Today we come to remember and to memorialize the cost of removing sin. Today we wear a new garment, not heavy, not cumbersome, not smelly, but there is blood involved. Not the blood of an animal, but the blood of Christ himself. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And Colossians gives us this information in chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. "And through him," through Christ, "to reconcile to himself all things, whatever on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him," before God. Father, we come to remember Christ today. Remember the price that was paid. We think back of what it cost simply to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. But Father, we come to remember what it cost to remove our sin. It cost the blood of Jesus. It cost his life. And Father, so as we remember this and as we partake of these emblems today, we're reminded of his body as we eat the bread, and how his body was beaten and abused. And Father, we're reminded of his blood as we drink of this cup. Father, a blood that not just covers our sins, but washes them away. And so, Father, we want to lift up his name today. Forgive us where we fail. Have mercy upon us, and compassion, which you always do. But Father, may we honor him in all that we do. For it's in his name that we pray.